भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we will be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 15. The chapter is entitled The Characteristics of King Puranjan.
Nila Spatika Vaidurja Mukta Marakat Arunai Klipta Armya Stalin Diptam Shriya Bhogavatim Iva Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakaranunai Klipta Armya Stalin Diptam Shriya Bhogavatim Iva Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakatarunai Kipta Harmya Stalim Deeptam Shriya Bhogavatim Iva Nilaspatika Vaidurya Marakatarunai Kripta Harmyas Talim Diptam Sriyabo Vavatim Iva. Nilas Patika Vaiduya Mukta Marakatarunai Tarmyastalim Diptam Shriya Bhagavatim Iva. Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakatarunai Kripta Harmyastalim Diptam Shriya Bhagavatim Iva Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakatarunai Kripta Armya Stalim Diptam Shriya Bhagavatim Iva. Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakatarunai Kripta Harmya Stalim Diptam Shriya Bhagavatim Iva. Nilaspatika Vaidurya Mukta Marakatarunai Kripta Harmya Stalim Diptam Shriya Bhagavatim Iva. Nila Sapphires Spatika Crystal Vaiduja Diamonds Mukta Pearls Marakata Emeralds Arunai With rubies, klipta bedecked, harmya stalim, the floors of the palaces, deeptam lustrous, shriya with beauty, bhogavatim, the celestial town known as bhogavatim, iva like. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The floors of the houses in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds and rubies. Because of the lustre of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to the celestial town known as Bhogavati. Please repeat. The floors of the houses in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Because of the luster of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to the celestial town named Bhogavati. In the city of the body, the heart is considered to be the capital. Just as the capital of a state is especially gorgeously filled with various high buildings and lustrous palaces, the heart of the body is filled with various desires and plans for material enjoyment. Such plans are sometimes compared to valuable jewels such as sapphires, rubies, pearls, and emeralds. The heart becomes the center for all planning for material enjoyment. Nila spatika vai duja muktamara kartarunai klipta harmyastalim deeptam shriya bhogavatim iva. The floors of the houses in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Because of the lustre of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to the celestial town named Bhogavati. Before I begin speaking on this Amala Purana, I would take this opportunity for beg for the permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, so may I say something for my purification and your inspiration. Vishnuparaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Chaitanya Swamini Tinamne Namami Bhakti Chaitanya Prabhupadana Sevanam Shri Vraja Dhanam Atman Padashekam Kripanavam. Namo Vishnuparaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamne Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasupe Deshatarine Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshurun Balitam Jena Tasmashi Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadha Mahiyam Dadati Swapatantikam Panchakalpaturubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadhadhar Shvashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This verse in Prabhupada continue with the analogous example given to explain to Maharaj Patani Barishad the dangers of sense gratification. And the analogy used is to compare the body to a city. Now we're looking at the capital of the city. And like the heart is the central CPU, and the computer you have a CPU, so the heart is the center of the body. In the same way, the capital of the city is the center of its activities, the CBD. The capital is very much opulent and great attention is there, filled with various types of jewels, making it a focal point. In the same way, our hearts, if they are filled with plans for material enjoyment, they become bedecked with these jewels of sense gratification. So what is to be done? Become inactive in the desires It is described, if somebody has a headache, one way to cure the person is to decapitate him. Then there's no more headache. Or you could cure the headache by giving him adequate medicine like this. So in our situation, the personality spoken here by Srila Prabhupada in a purport, a person is making plans for sense gratification. The solution is not to end plan making, but to dovetail those plan making tendencies in the service of the Lord. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya Bilasita Sinam Jnana Karmani Navitam Anupulina Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami, describes pure devotional service. And one term there is Anushilanam. Shilanam means cultivation. Prabhupada explains in the Nectar of Devotion that when cultivation is being discussed, it implies activity. So there's no question of inactivity for the soul. The soul is by nature active. Therefore, the Mayavadi proposal that once we leave the body, our existence ends is not acceptable to us. Also, in this term, Anushilanam is the term Anu, which means following. Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion that following means following the previous acharyas and the instructions of the spiritual master. Also in that verse is the term Anukulena Krishna. Anukulena means accepting activities which are favorable and pleasing to Krishna. Thinking about Krishna in a favorable way also. One may be doing these activities that are mentioned here, Anushilana, but not necessarily pleasing Krishna. And one may be thinking of Krishna, but not necessarily in a pleasing way. Example given by Srila Prabhupada in the Nectar of Devotion is of Kamsa and Shishupal. Kamsa was 100% Krishna conscious. He was thinking of Krishna constantly, but how to kill. So this is not favorable, so it's not accepted as pure devotional service. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 44, Vaigaishwarya Prashaktanam Taya Pairata Chetisam Vyavasatmika Buddhi Samadho Navidyate. Krishna says, in the minds of those who are too attached to sense gratification, material enjoyments and opulence, their resolute determination for devotional service does not take place. What does this mean? This is a warning for us that if we get too much into the power of developing plans for ourselves, sense gratification, we will not be able to perform devotional service. It's like a dichotomy, a conflict of interests. On one hand trying to enjoy, on the other hand trying to serve Krishna. So this is an incompatible situation. Material consciousness. And this is another example of duality in this world. Material world means duality. Where there is pain, there is pleasure also. But we want exclusively to be pleased in terms of our senses and our sensory experiences. However, life is a very interesting mixture of pleasure and pain. We only want the heaven without the hell. So when the hellish experience comes, we turn in disgust and horror. Whoa, what's happening? But even that hellish experience, being devotees of the Lord, is actually a part of Krishna's plan for our rectification of our improper consciousness. That's explained in the purport of Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8, which we will discuss soon. So this heaven and hell, pain and pleasures, are built into one another, like two sides of the same coin. You can't have one with the other. Nobody can be exclusively happy in this world. Neither can we please somebody to their full satisfaction in this world, however hard we may try. So the best use of our efforts and our energies is to use our efforts and energies to please the senses of Krishna. What is that? Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Puchyate. By serving the senses of the Lord, automatically we are pleased. The devotee sees all ups and downs, pains and pleasures, heaven and hell experiences as the mercy of the Lord. He thinks, this is explained in chapter 12, text 13, 14 in Bhagavad Gita purport by Prabhupada, that when a devotee experiences troubles in his life, he thinks, I should be suffering so much more because I'm such a rascal. But Krishna has reduced it to a token. Prabhupada says, I've heard that if you cut your finger, no, you should have lost your head. So this finger cut, paper cut, is just a token reaction. With this view, one is able to tolerate whatever the material energy throws our way. And if you're a devotee, then that suffering, so-called suffering, is especially an arrangement for you, for your rectification and purification. I mentioned the verse, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. Taktunu kampam, sushi makshavani. So in that purport, Prabhupada says, just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the supreme pure, Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is actually a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Very interesting here in this purport, that the disciples of Prabhupada are saying, rigid purificatory process. During the process of healing or purification, we are thinking, why am I suffering like this? Why am I being purified? I'm not so bad. But at the end of it, you come out shining. But when you're actually in the spin cycle of the washing machine of anatta navritti, you cannot see daylight. But there is, however, I assure you, my friends, light at the end of the tunnel. To survive this treatment of the Lord, one has to tolerate. Very interestingly, in the second chapter, text 14, Krishna says, Matas parsas tukantaya shitoshna shukka dukada agama painonita tong shtitik shosha bharata. What is that? Krishna says that the momentary happiness and distress of this world can be compared to the summer and winter seasons. They arise from sense perception, and one must learn to tolerate them, or sayana bharata, without being disturbed. First of all, one must have a willingness to tolerate. Usually, I speak for myself, I think to myself, why should I tolerate? You should be more tolerant of me. You know, we expect people to tolerate all our little discrepancies, all our little nonsense habits, but when it comes to something small in their character, we focus like a radar. Yes, you got that problem. But we don't see the difficulties and shortcomings in ourselves. Bhakti Charamard says in one lecture that if you point one finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing back at you. So as much tejas as you have for finding fault, three times as much you must apply it to yourself. So the willingness to tolerate comes when we understand our extreme lacking in every way. And this takes genuine humility. There's one devotee in South Africa. His name is Bhakti Priyat Bhagavat Swami. He's Priyat Madanga as a brahmachari. And he told me when I joined, he gave a class actually, that humility means understanding that we are the servant of Krishna and chanting the holy names of the Lord. By chanting the holy names of the Lord, when you see somebody chanting japa, it is an external indication that this person understood, I don't have all the answers. I cannot solve the problems of this world myself. By taking the bead bag in the hand and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This person has made a statement. I don't have all the answers. I can't cure the problems of birth, death, old age and disease. Krishna, you please help. It's a call, a genuine call of a child for its mother. So in this way, he said, chant Hare Krishna is a symptom of true humility. Humility is needed because if we are not humble, we'll think, where's the need to tolerate? I'm suffering, I should ask for help. Why should I suffer? One should always realize and remember one point, that one's sufferings and distress is predestined. There's no way you can increase the amount of happiness that you are allotted, and there's no way you can decrease your distress. This is already allotted to you. And as the verse says in Canto 10, chapter 14, text 8, one must patiently suffer all the tribulations that are sent your way. And continue worshipping the Lord with your words, your thoughts and your deeds. And then you become the rightful claim of the kingdom of God. Next question I may ask you is, are we really tolerating? Some people say, I am tolerating this devotee so much, I have so much to tolerate. But are we really tolerating? Because according to that verse, Matra Sparsha Shtukantiya, what does it say? Just try to tolerate without becoming disturbed. So if somebody is tolerating and becoming disturbed, are they really tolerating? Actually, no. Tolerating means you understand this philosophy that I'm getting hammered here actually, but I deserve much more. Then you'll think that whatever you're getting is a flimsy, very negligible amount of what you actually deserve. And that takes humility. Then you will tolerate. If you understand how fallen you actually are, then you will happily tolerate whatever the material energy throws to you. By pleasing the senses of Krishna, our senses are also pleased. We'll take some example from our recent history, extremely recent history, 2 days ago, 2012, Jagannath Snan Yatra. So at the Snan Yatra, the only individuals, the only personalities receiving the Abhishek was Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra Maharaj, and maybe a few pujaris also. But everyone present there had the biggest smile from ear to ear, Lala Jagannath. Why? Because by pleasing the senses of the Lord, you are pleased. Yes. By giving Lord enjoyment, you automatically enjoy. It wasn't your Snan Yatra, it was Jagannath's Snan Yatra. Everything was nicely arranged for his pleasure. And when you do things to please the Lord, such elaborate plans are made, like in Mayapur, such elaborate plans are made in deity worship, dressing the deity, offering festivals for the deity's pleasure, like the Solil Vihar, to cool them down, offering Chandan to cool the Lord down. If things are done exclusively for the pleasure of the Lord, the consciousness of that entire place is raised. Because the common interest, the center is the Lord. Where there's extreme selfishness, individual material plan making, the consciousness is lowered. How can I help myself? How can I make more money? How can I make more profit? How can I rob people? Then that becomes a very low conscious situation. But you see here in Mayapur, people come early in the morning to have the darshan of Shri Shri Radha Madhav, Ashtashakhi Chitadharma, Giriraj, Govardhan, Shishi Panchatapa, Shri Prahlad Nishimadev, and the darshan of the devotees who are enthusiastically chanting and dancing. And when you see the devotees enthusiastically chanting and dancing, you also start enthusiastically chanting and dancing. This is the secret of Sadhu Sangha. It's infectious. Like some bad consciousness is infectious, good consciousness is also infectious. Birds of a feather flock together. So when you associate with those who have the interest of keeping Krishna in the center, that becomes a common goal of the yatra, the consciousness of the yatra is raised. If that can spread to the entire population, the world will become Krishna consciousness. This is Prabhupada's vision. His vision is unlimited. He doesn't look at himself, he doesn't look at his family, he doesn't look at his community, he doesn't look at his country, he's looking at the universe. This is Srila Prabhupada's vision. To do this will take sacrifice. I want to have a look at this word sacrifice a little more. To change that mentality, my individual plan making, which is mentioned here by Srila Prabhupada, and making plans for Krishna. So I'd like to quote a great saintly personality, Mother Teresa, and she says, a sacrifice to be real must cost, must hurt, and must completely empty ourselves. Although she doesn't know it, our dear Mother Teresa, is talking about devotional service. Because unalloyed pure devotional service means it's done constantly without motivation. If you have no self-interest, there won't be a little reserved portion for yourself. I'm giving this pleasure to Krishna, I'll keep this portion for myself. You empty yourself. And we know sometimes devotional service hurts. I'll tell you about that just now. And also it must cost. There is a price to pay. Anything in life, there's a price to pay. We all are here sitting in Sri Dham Mayapur. It wasn't cheap to come here. I see many foreign body devotees sitting here. And for myself, I can speak, it wasn't cheap to come here to Mayapur. There's a price to pay. But you will all agree that being in Mayapur, there is no price high enough to pay. But more important than sitting in Mayapur is to develop a Mayapur consciousness. Because Mayapur consciousness you can carry anywhere in the world, wherever you are. This is the intention of Srila Prabhupada by having this Gaur Purnima festival. All the leaders of ISKCON used to come here to Mayapur, recharge their batteries, and then go back to the West to preach. And many devotees still do like that. And if you're living in Mayapur, then there's a very special responsibility. To be a Dhambasi is not just about a geographical location, it's about a state of consciousness. What are you doing to serve the Dham? I wish I was doing something to serve the Dham. I wish I was doing something to serve the Dham at least. But we can start by preaching to each other. Because I mentioned together about the association of devotees. So when we see another person down, we shouldn't ridicule them. We shouldn't highlight their problem, but assist them. By assisting that devotee, we help ourselves actually. Because as a yatra, we will grow. Whatever is needed to do to facilitate our service to Krishna, that we should do. Do the necessary, Srila Prabhupada says. So now I'll tell you a true story. This happened on the eve of Nirja Ekadasi. My wife and I went for a program to Krishna Naga. It was with some group of devotees. Nitya Kishori, Sitapati Prabhu were there. And the program district was kirtan and a class. And people came in dribs and drabs initially, but when the kirtan started to really churn and started to sing some sweet Nitai bhajans, then there's a lot of people. So I was guilty of being a little lacking in enthusiasm, a little dull. I was feeling a little dull and tired and lazy basically. So I didn't put my heart into the kirtan. I was just sitting back there, just clapping my hands, humming along, mumbling along, not really chanting nicely. Then I looked out at the audience. And we, on the stage, actually were representing Srila Prabhupada. We were representing Mayapur Dham. And we, individually and collectively, did not play our part, that program would fail. Even if one person didn't play his part, that program is wrong. The moment I thought like that, I said, right, let me get into it. I looked around, there was some wampus. I grabbed the wampus and then I started playing with great energy as a consequence. But my mood really improved because I started to say, how are these people perceiving this experience? Not how I'm experiencing this program. What is their experience of this program? There's many people I can see sitting out here who come for the first time. If they get like an experience like, oh, look at these guys on stage. This guy is like looking at this side. He's looking at his SMSs, spacing out. They'll think, what is this? I should rather stay at home and watch some Bollywood movie, you know? But wow, these guys are so enthusiastic to give us Krishna consciousness. Let us also dance and chant enthusiastically. Like Radhanath, His Holiness Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj gives an example of Chaupati Mandir. What a place. So Maharaj says, if somebody new comes to this temple, they don't know anything about everything. What do they see? Everybody is enthusiastically chanting and dancing. So what do? They start enthusiastically chanting and dancing. Because That's the thing to do. Therefore, we have to be examples and emissaries and ambassadors of Shri Mayapur Dham with our own enthusiastic outlook on life. In that same lecture, Srila Radhanath Swami Maharaj says that one should perform the enthusiasm or perform the austerity of being enthusiastic. Remember that verse 214? Krishna says, just try to tolerate without being disturbed. He also means happiness there. What does it mean to tolerate happiness? You can get carried away. You can get carried away. Mayapur has so many facilities. It's very easy to get carried away. But if you maintain your sobriety, and remember, I am here for a mission. I am part of an army. I'm a soldier. So, if I deviate, you can lose the war. Anybody who comes here is a victim of Maya. We have to care for them like an intensive care unit. And very, very carefully nurture that person in their visit to Mayapur. That person's experience will be so enriching, they will give their heart to Shri Ram Mayapur. And you know, once you lose your heart to Shri Ram Mayapur, that's it. There's no turning back. So if we can create such an experience by our attitude and behavior to that newcomer to Mayapur, this is a success of preaching. By our endeavor and our behavior. What service we do is dictated by the spiritual master. We should honor these instructions as one's life and soul. And we should carry out the order of the spiritual master unhesitatingly. We all come to Krishna, I speak to myself. I came to Krishna consciousness with my own plan, what I perceive myself to become. But my Guru Maharaj had another plan. So, we can take Srila Prabhupada's life as an example. Srila Prabhupada's life is an example. So, let's look at Srila Prabhupada. When he first saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in that program, he was a staunch follower of the Gandhi movement. He thought liberation for India first, then we can talk about spiritual emancipation. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, no. This preaching of the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so important it cannot wait. He stoked a fire of urgency in the heart of Abhaicharan. And when that urgency was stoked by the message coming through Parampara, because this was not a formal meeting of spiritual master and disciple, but as soon as he saw Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and accepted that instruction, the relationship was sealed. That moment he accepted Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his heart. And that is the place where we accept the Guru, in the heart. So, he took the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to heart, made his instruction his life and soul. So, when we are sincere, like Srila Prabhupada was extremely sincere, he is extremely sincere, Krishna's plan becomes manifest through the order of the spiritual master. We are all obliged to Srila Prabhupada. And some people sometimes mention that they're going through some frustration and some disappointment. Don't be surprised. According to Bhagavatam, this is typical of this age. People are misguided, lazy, short-lived, quarrelsome, and above all, always disturbed. So we should not be surprised. Bhakti Priyat Bhagavat Maharaj also said to me that there's no happiness in the material world. And I was just a new bhakta then. I said, oh no, what process did I just join? Hare Krishna, where's the door? Then he said something else. He said, the only happiness in this material world is devotional service to Krishna. And over the years, that has become very, very true. And those words ring in my ears. This is so true. That the only happiness in life, in this material world, is the satisfaction we get from devotional service. There's one nice picture, cartoon. It shows a fish sitting on a lounge chair, on a beach chair, with its sunglasses, a cup of, let's say, Sprite or 7-Up, and it's being fanned by so many other fishes. he's getting some cigarettes or cigar, so many, but the fish is looking miserable, and after a few hours that fish will be dead. Why? It's out of its natural environment. But you take that fish and place it in even a small container of water, it will be happy. So we are in a material environment. But if we engage in a spiritual activity of devotional service to Krishna, then real satisfaction comes. Because that's where we belong. What to speak if we immerse ourselves in the ocean of the nectar of devotion, up to the eyebrows? That's real enjoyment. That's life. People are suffering in this world. They are experiencing this duality every day, slapping them on the face. At least we have shelter in the holy name. We have shelter in Krishna consciousness. We have shelter in each other. They have no shelter. Because every attempt that they make is failing, has failed, and will fail. And they have no other answer. So they actually suffer. It's a great suffering condition. Srila Prabhupada knew this. Srila Prabhupada penned his letters at the end, "Your ever well wisher." Now, if you consider somebody who's your friend, friendship, you know, sometimes somebody's your friend, sometimes not. Then you get a really good friend. But if somebody's your ever well wishing friend, that means under any circumstance he will be your friend. So this is Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because he gave us the greatest treasure of Krishna consciousness. We can never repay Srila Prabhupada for that gift. But there is a way. And the way is to preach as vigorously as Srila Prabhupada did. And what will that do to Srila Prabhupada? How will that assist him? It will help him in his mission to change the lives of all the miserable people in this world. And you automatically will be happy. Because the more we focus on giving Krishna consciousness to others, improving their situation, their lot, as they say, we are changing the focus. The focus is not me-centered, it's becoming Krishna-centered. We're changing the focus from my plan to Krishna's plan. In this way, we will feel real satisfaction and happiness. So Prabhupada makes a warning in one lecture. It's the danger of material plan making. Because you're all going to walk out of this lecture in 10 minutes time and go on with your lives. But there's a message I want to leave with you today. And for my own self also. And that is the danger of material plan making. Prabhupada speaks a story of Puna Mushika Bhava. What is that? There was a saintly person living in a forest who was approached by a mouse. Mushika. The mouse said, "Dear saint, please help me. I'm in so much of distress." "Oh, what is the problem?" "The cats, they trouble me so much. Daily I have to run and this is my existence, running. So, what do you want? Please make me a cat." "Okay, tathastu, become a cat." A few days later, cat was back. He said, "Oh saint, please help me." "Oh, you're back, what is the problem?" "Oh, the dogs trouble me so much." "So what do you want?" "Make me a dog." "Okay, become a dog." Tathastu, made him a dog. So as you know, in this material world, sufferings are going on. Solve one problem, 10 are waiting in the queue. Next day, came back again as a dog. "Saint, please, please help me. I'm suffering." "What is it? I made you a dog, still you're suffering?" "Now the tigers, they're chasing me." "So what is it? What do you want?" "Make me a tiger." "Okay, become a tiger." Tathastu, become a tiger. Immediately became a tiger. He was staring at the saintly person. "So, you want to eat me?" Tiger says, "Yes." Then again become a mouse. And it changed him back into a mouse. So Prabhupada explains in this purport, this is a lecture from
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 15, Text 20, where Krishna has just left the world and Arjuna is bereft of everything, his ability even. Prabhupada explains that by the grace of the saintly person, you are empowered. You are able to do things. If you forget that the mercy is coming through the Paramatma to you and you take credit and you start to enjoy the facilities without giving credit and recognition, then in the same way as you made you great, he can bring you down. Puna Bhushika Bhava. So we should also remember this in our personal lives. Any good that we're able to do in this world is by the grace of Guru and Krishna. We should never take credit, we should try and give credit. In the assembly of devotees, as there's some program going on, people come to you, Prabhu, Prabhu, you did such wonderful service. Oh, who am I? What can I do? It's only by the mercy of all my God brothers and God sisters in the congregation that I was able to do this. But thank you for your encouragement. Try and deflect the attention from ourselves, not absorb the attention and bask in the glory. Don't rest on your laurels and don't be proud of borrowed plumes. And in this way, if we remember that the focus should be Krishna, change our plan making from materialistic plan making to making plans for Krishna, we can become lions in Krishna consciousness. But not ordinary lions, Trinadapi Sunichana lions. So still humility will be there. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. So if there's any questions or comments or need for clarification, please. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.